Welcome to the Electrical Current Podcast, where you'll hear interviews with inspiring guests, discussions on important trade topics, and encouraging messages for the future of our industry's workforce. Now here's your host, Thayer Long.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Electrical Current. This is your host, Thayer Long, and we are excited to have on our program today a wonderful, wonderful person from down in the Fort Worth area, Zach Jarman. Zach, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. So, Zach, you are the training director at one of the best chapters in the country, the IEC Fort Worth. I got to say that. I got to put my plug in for my Texas peeps. So you're down in Fort Worth, Tarrant County. And Zach, just before we kind of get going in here, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you love about the electrical industry.
Well, I've been in the industry about 30 years. What I love about it personally is that I love the challenge of the work. I love the fact that there's so many opportunities out there. I mean, I started, like I tell my apprentices all the time, I started as a green hand, not knowing anything. And here I am 30 some years later and I'm a train director. So the opportunities for someone in our trade is awesome. And so I really want to try to get as many people as I can find to know about this program because it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, Zach, it's an exciting time to be in this industry, right? I mean, I know we've always talked about the stability of being in the electrical trade, about, you know, having a skill for life, always having a need for an electrician, but there is just so much opportunity right now going on in our industry. And I know you're seeing it, just the demand for bringing people into our industry is high. In fact, I haven't seen this kind of demand in quite some time. But you've got a lot of experience, Zach. You've got, 30 years of electrical experience under your belt. You've been a teacher since 2015, training director for the past couple of years. You've got a ton of responsibility with managing almost 20 instructors. You've got, almost 500 students in the program. You see a lot. You have a vision for the industry. And you mentioned that your passion is bringing people into the industry and retaining people. What's the experience been the past couple of years when you're talking to people about entering the trade? What's different about the conversation about trying to bring people into the industry than maybe it used to be?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that I don't know if the conversation has changed a whole lot, but I know as far as making students aware of our program and aware of the trade, the electrician trade, a lot of them are not aware of it. And so I find out that when you tell them about the trade, and a lot of them didn't even know what an electrician does. That was kind of interesting. I was shocked.
Really? That is pretty shocking.
Then also they were not aware of the amount of money that we make. They weren't aware of that. And now that college has become so expensive, I don't think they really were aware that this was an option, that being in the trade was actually an option. So in that way, it has changed the conversation, because now, because of the cost of education, because of that, you can kind of, you can start saying, well, hey, college is very expensive. And most students don't know what they want to do anyway. They're not really sure what they want to do. And so you can say, well, hey, here's another opportunity. Here's another option. And especially to people that may be in a socioeconomic situation where they can't afford to go to school, here's an option where you can make money. And you can actually, have a great living. You can do that in our trade. So, in most high schools, unfortunately, they're being told that if you don't go to college, you're not going to do well. So, I mean, I've been able to broaden the horizons of most high school students to let them know that, yes, you can. You can do well. You can have a career and be respected in the community as an electrician. You can make great money. So that's how the conversation has changed for me as far as just introducing them to the trade and what electricians actually do.
So do you see then an erosion of where, the American dream was go to college, right? And you've made it. Are you starting to see now it actually really sinking in on individuals to say, you know what, I don't have to go to college. I can be a successful entrepreneur, businessman, businesswoman, whatever you want to call it, by seeking something that's not college. Is that starting to sink in now?
Absolutely. When you talk about erosion, we're getting people who have been to college, gotten degrees, and say, hey, I can't get a job, or I can't make any money, or I got this college debt that I have to pay. And, and the thing that I went to college for, I'm not happy. And you find them coming to the trade and want to become electricians. So, I see the erosion of the thought process that college is the only way eroding. But the people that are really seem to be taking advantage of more so than us is military. The military is getting people in left and right. But the trades, I think that we're still a little bit behind. And it's because, we just got to get out there and do a better job of letting people know that it's an option. And so,
Zach, what are you guys doing that you've seen? Kind of, if you could point out a couple specific wins, if you will. I mean, I know there's you got a great team, you got a great leader in Johnny, you got a great board down there. Like, what have you specifically been doing? And kind of, can you point to a few wins on the recruitment side?
Well, we definitely have tried to get into high schools more, and talk to people earlier. I mean, I actually went and talked to an elementary class before. So, and those things, yes, we're not seeing any results like today, but we feel like that we're planting seeds for the future. And we have partnered up with a company called COC. They do a lot of pre-apprenticeship type stuff. We've partnered up with them and have gotten students from them. We've improved our relationships with the high school that we are dealing with. Personally, I'm in charge of the high school program too. So I go out and I talk to these high school instructors and say, hey, we want your guys. What can we do to help? What resource do you need from us? I mean, just being available, just establishing a relationship with the school, the principal. I mean, especially the guidance counselors, huge. I mean, those things have helped us increase the capacity of our pipeline to get more students. And so we've had some wins with that. I mean, we've seen, a better relationship with the schools and trying to help them help us pretty much.
So there's two things I want to touch on there. First of all, I think the more of just a comment that the fact that you're going even now starting earlier beyond just high school, you're definitely on the edge of the curve there, because that's where those thoughts and ideas really start to become formulated as they're thinking about. I mean, they're not obviously you're fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. You're not necessarily thinking about, hey, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? But you're exposing them to different options that they can go back and reference as, when they are at that point. So I think that's really key, and maybe a takeaway for our listeners is to say, hey, listen, you got to start your outreach maybe even sooner. But tell me how that's changed the equation for you. So once you're in with those guidance counselors, I mean, talk about the kind of influence that they're wielding with some of the students, and how have you been successful in building that relationship, and what has that meant for you in the chapter?
Basically, by having a relationship with a guidance counselor, they can identify the students that may or may not be college material, or may not be interested in college, or may not have the resources to go to college, and they automatically point them to our direction. They point them to us. And so they basically are the bridge between us and the student. Without the guidance counselor, it's harder for us to reach those students, or know who those students are. But a guidance counselor, they're dealing with them for 4 years, and so or they're dealing with that last year in high school, and so they're able to push those students that will benefit the most from our program to us. And so that relationship is crucial.
Do you think the guidance counselors, kind of like some of the students, just haven't been aware that there's all these different alternatives besides college?
Absolutely. I think things alone are sellers. So we got to do a much better job of getting to those guys and telling them about our program, explaining, how it works.
Have you encountered any guidance counselors that have ever said that they're not incentivized to send their students to anything outside of college? Like, have you encountered any of that where it's like, hey, these guidance counselors are like their job performance is based upon how many kids they get into college? Is that true or not?
They have not come out and said it, but I read between the lines, and I could see that their goal is to get as many students in college as possible. That's their goal. Yeah. And they don't really, I don't think they get any kudos if they get a student in a trade school, not like college. The apprenticeship program doesn't have a monetary value, in my opinion, that makes them look good. So no, that they are not going to be as motivated to push a person to our program than, as if, you know, than college. They're going to be more incentivized to push them to college than an apprenticeship program.
Yeah, well, that's an opportunity for us as an industry to address that, because my feeling is maybe that's how schools are measured in general,
right.
And you know, that's how schools get funding. So I don't know, maybe we can. That's a whole other topic, but that's really interesting, and that's really great how you're going out and really being a good ambassador and promoting and recruiting people in. So you said something though that I want to now kind of move us into the keeping them in. So you just said when you do think about the story we have, right? It's you have a job, right? You're earning while you're learning. A lot of times your tuition is subsidized or offset by the earnings that you're making. You come out of the program after 4 years and you have a skill for life, right? Which is transferable. It's portable. You can, you know, move from state to state if you need to. So, you have a credential. If it's really easy to kind of get people in, why is it harder for us to keep people in? And I know that's been something that we've talked about as an industry for a long time across all trades and across all programs, right? We have occasionally we run into an issue where, you know, you're bringing people in, but then they leave the program or they leave the trade. What's going on there, Zach, that you can tell, and what can we do to fix it?
Well, you know, as you were saying earlier, in my emerging leading program, this is one of our things. And in my particular group, we're working with how to eliminate attrition in the apprenticeship program itself. Well, the biggest issue, and I've told my fourth year guys, you know, here just last week, when you graduate, please don't forget that you used to be an apprentice. When you get on your job and you get a new guy, he's green, please don't forget that used to be you. I said, don't beat him up, don't abuse him. Or her. I mean, treat them. Remember that you used to be an apprentice. And so what happens is we send our apprentices to these jobs and they just totally get, you know, ate up, chewed up, grounded up and spit out. And they're not used to that. And so we put an individual in a situation where you have, and especially in our program, you have to work for this contractor for the next 4 years. And this person, this contractor is beating you up and you can't leave. And if you think about it, a student has never ever been in that situation in their entire life. I mean, I tell people all the time, when I went through the apprenticeship program, it was probably the toughest time in my entire life. I mean, I'm 54, I'll be 54 this year. I've never had a time in my life that was so difficult, because here it is, you tell me that I have to work for you, but you can beat me up and abuse me and I can't leave. You can pay me what you want to pay me, no matter how hard I work, and I can't pursue anything, any other company. I can pursue another company that's paying more money. I'm gonna have to basically suffer through this program until I'm done. And then not only that, but I've gotten beat up all day long at work, I come to school and then my teacher reads to me for 4 hours. That kills me. I mean, that's a killer. You know,
that's a killer. You feel like you're in prison. So there's two things, right, that we're talking about. There's one, what the employer, because I think there's sometimes we think we forget that, and I think contractors forget that there's that they have an obligation as well, right? They're going to bring an apprentice on, any employee on, right? There's an obligation to create a culture or create an environment of success for those individuals. And it's, you know, people think of it as like, oh, that's, you know, touchy feely stuff. It's really not touchy feely stuff. You know, who wants to go to work every day? I always say this: who wants to go to work every day where the reward is, if for doing a good job, is just no punishment?
Right.
right? It's like, you know, how was your day at work? Well, great. I didn't get slapped on the wrists. That's a good day. As opposed to, it was great because I was part of a team and I put a project in place and I had an impact. And then the other aspect, of course, is what you're doing in the classroom and the learning environment. And that's really what IEC does best, right? Is we provide a really, I think, a healthy and dynamic classroom environment. And that's incumbent upon instructors and training directors like yourself, right? To work that out. What are you seeing on the contractor side? Start there. Are you seeing any contractors that are specifically now being more deliberate in creating a better environment for their employees? Are you seeing any change out there in the industry?
Not really. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, as an organization, you know, we have to educate our contractor on creating a better culture. And, you know, a lot of our contractors here, they're begging for help, but we're saying we can get you help, but you're going to have to change the culture. Or you're not going to be able to keep them. I mean, we're going to continue to have a shortage of electricians if we don't create an environment that makes it conducive or makes a body want to be there. I mean, they can go to, there's alternatives. They can go to McDonald's. They can go to Walmart. They can go to Bucky's, you know, gas station. They can go plenty of places where they will pay them almost as much as what we're starting them out at and will treat them a lot better. And so with the generation that we have now, they just not going to take a lot. Now, when I came through, you would take that and you would be okay.
You took it. I hear you. Yep.
But now it's like, woo. I mean, you talking about a kid that probably hadn't been outside. You know, he's been on video games and been on the computer all his, through high school and college and I mean, not high school, high school and middle school, just never. And now so you want him to go outside in this 100-degree weather and you want to dig a trench and then you want to talk to him. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. They just not going to take it. And so we got to do a little better. Now, the trenches got to get dug, you know, but I mean, tell a guy, hey, man, you did a great job, man. That was, you know, you did good today. And I mean, they have to have some incentive to do a good job, you know what I'm saying? Have an incentive to be better. And so sometimes I think we have to, you know, do a better job at creating that for them so they will stay into the program and not quit their contract.
Well, I hope for the people listening, for the contractors, several I've been talking to over the past few years, there has been this wake up call to say, okay, you know what? There's generational differences and, you know, just because I came up a certain way, right, frankly, doesn't mean it was even that healthy the way I came up. So, you know, maybe I need to, you know, maybe I would have appreciated more if people had treated me with a little bit more just, you know, respect or just, you know, communicate better with me. And so I think that, you know, I'm hopeful, Zach, because of the work that you're doing, the message that you guys are carrying down there, as well as, you know, at other chapters and working with other contractors, is that there has been a wake up call to say, you know what, if we want to create a better business, we need to think about how we're dealing with our people. And by the way, there is a whole business case, right? If you are building a healthy culture for your company, you're going to, guess what, increase productivity. Increase satisfaction, increase customer satisfaction, and ultimately you're going to increase your profitability and your bottom line by adjusting your worldview. So I hope that's a wake up call for contractors and for those who are interested in pursuing a career in the industry. I do think things are changing, and I think they're going to change quicker than maybe we even anticipate. But let's talk about too, just as we're kind of wrapping up, and something that I know that is also near and dear to your heart, and that's something that you're controlling, is the classroom environment, right? So you're working out all day and then you got to go to class. And yes, sometimes it's a grind. You want to go watch Monday Night Football. You got a family, you got other obligations, right? That are kind of weighing on you, but you got to get through the classroom. What are you doing specifically to kind of help them be more successful and be more satisfied with their classroom experience, Zach?
One of the things we're doing is we're starting, you know, I say from the front door to the classroom. I mean, from the moment they walk in is, you know, just inviting them in, saying hello. I mean, something simple as saying, hey, how you doing? Everything, you know, ask them, is everything okay? Is everything good? You know, right. You'd be surprised how just asking a question like that makes them feel like, hey, this guy or these folks really do care about me. We open our doors earlier. So normally it used to be a time where you could not get into our building until 5 o'clock. Well, we open our building at 3 o'clock. So you got 3 hours where you can come in. We got microwaves. You can warm food up. You can relax. You can, you know, get into some AC. You know, we're here. You can ask questions about homework, or if you have a concern about hours or stuff that's going on in your job. I mean, we're just trying to change the culture where it's more inviting. That's before you even get in the classroom.
Yeah.
And then there's the classroom where we're trying to train our instructors to have more empathy, you know, to not spend 4 hours reading to them, but spend time explaining to them, making it real to them, and also providing as many labs as we possibly can, provide opportunities where they can see things happen. I mean, I have guys or, you know, folks tell me all the time, I didn't come here to talk about theory for 4 hours. I came to put my hands on some stuff. That's why I got to this trade. I'm not a book person. I'm a hands-on person. And right. So by providing a hands-on experience in first and second year, it helps our attrition rate. Just right. Creating that environment where, you know, there's hands-on, we believe will drastically help attrition. Drastically. Oh, it keeps them motivated. It says, yes, I was in the trench all day today in my job, but at least I get to come to school and do some things that make sense, that I can actually see light bulbs come on. I can see switches controlling things. I can see that kind of stuff happen. And so, yes, being on a job did suck today. I went to class and I was inspired to go back and keep learning.
That's a really great, Zach, by giving them that hands-on, showing them what they will be doing. You know, it all comes down to just giving them, this is going to be your purpose. Your purpose is going to be, you know, the generation and transmission of energy, of electricity. And that's a really, really cool feeling when you're going to be able to, you know, build a school, build a project, build a hospital, build, or fix or troubleshoot, whatever it is, right? There's a purpose to it. And giving those individuals, those, you know, young men and women, saying, hey, listen, your purpose in life is going to be by creating this energy. And without it, you know, we don't have most of our modern world. And showing them, like, this is what you're going to be doing. And not only does it give them purpose, it sounds like, and makes them motivated and inspired, it's also going to make them more productive. And better when they're out in the field, you know, by getting that exposure in the classroom and helping their companies be successful. So I'll be anxious to hear, you know, in a couple of years as you're kind of working through these things, kind of see what your attrition rates are, your retention rates are. And I have no doubt that if we just pay a little bit more attention to our people, that they're gonna pay it back. By being more loyal, more committed, more motivated. So, and I know to some that are listening, it probably sounds like the seismic shift that's insurmountable, but I think it's just the little things. And if you just treat people with some respect and some dignity, and show them that you care, because you do, then, you know, we're going to be better off for it. And we're certainly going to need people. Well, Zach, listen, are there any parting words of wisdom you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up today?
I think, you know, what you said, the last thing you said is very important. I mean, it's the small things. It's treating someone the way you would like to be treated, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the classroom, no matter where you are, you want to treat someone like you want to be treated. If we do that, then we're going to help attrition rate drastically. So that's the thing. It's basic. It's being a good human being, being a good person. I mean, and I tell my instructors all the time that every single one of us remember that one instructor. There was one instructor that influenced us, that changed our life, that made us believe that we could do it. You know, and we know their name. We had a meeting. And I asked. I said, "You know their name?" And I had instructors naming all people's names. You know who they are. You want to be that person. that changed someone's life. I had someone on the job when I was an apprentice that changed my life. I had someone in my high school, an instructor that changed my life. And all it takes is one person to make a difference. And so we need to be that person.
Well, Zach, I think that's a great way to wrap it up. And I really appreciate your time. Sure. Look forward to hearing more out of your chapter here in the next couple months and years. And thanks so much for joining us today on the program.
Yes, sir. Thank you.